Praise the Lord. Before we get going today with the word, I was asked if I could summarize or give a praise report on our outreach yesterday at the Northern Virginia Muscle Car Association 5th Annual Car, Truck, and Bike Show. And so what I can tell the church is that we're still winning. Is that all right? Is that all right? The news from the battlefield is not only are we still winning, is that we've already won. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. And so we say thanks be unto God who has given us the victory. We faced a real devil. We face a real devil who every time we attempt to do something for the Lord, you all will testify to this. Even this morning when you got up out of your bed, take a couple more minutes, right? But every time we get together to do an outdoor event, and I cannot even suggest to you that I'm some type of innovator in regard to outdoor outreach at all. I was trained in outdoor outreach by a great friend, minister, Reverend John Slay, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I am his student even until this day. But I can tell you that the Spirit of the Lord empowered us this weekend to serve God, anointed us to serve God, in spite of what the enemy tried to do. Amen? And so that we had an absolutely wonderful time under our prayer tent. We had worship going up. We had people sitting in the tent. We had over 200-300 people just milling around, not only car owners, but regular patrons, I'll say, to the show, who were hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being sung, being ministered outdoors. And so I want to just really put my hands together. Let's come on, give the Lord some praise. All right, now y'all have to understand I'm a Baptist preacher, okay? Now that sounded like somebody cooked you a good dinner. That sound like the mashed potatoes were good. Come on, give God some praise. For the things. All right. I'm trying to tell you, I'm a good old Baptist preacher now. Even if somebody stole a base, you would be clapping harder than that. Somebody ran a football across a line, you'd have lost your mind already. But Jesus Christ the King died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and he's still on the throne. Somebody ought to get up out of your seats and give God some praise. Give God some praise. Come on, somebody. Doesn't God deserve a standing ovation for saving you? Doesn't God deserve a standing ovation for delivering you? Doesn't he deserve a standing ovation for the fact that you still have breath in your lungs? Doesn't God deserve a standing ovation for legs to walk on, for feet, amen, that are moving, for a mind that's still being regular? Somebody give God some praise. The children are fine. The home is fine. The job is fine. The wife is fine. The husband is fine. Come on, give God some praise, amen, for what he's done in your life today. We're still alive today. The devil tried to grab us. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. And listen, we have him to thank. We have him to thank. I mean, if you can see today, do you know how many people went to sleep last night with eyesight, but when they woke up today, they couldn't see anything? Do you know how many people ran around yesterday, did everything they wanted to do yesterday, but when they woke up this morning, they couldn't even feel their legs? Do you know that this is a natural truth? That there are people that walked across floors last night, and when they turned from their bed today, They couldn't even feel the floor under their feet. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. There are people that right now can't even talk. And they wonder why they went to sleep last night saying whatever they wanted to say. But they woke up this morning and God shut their mouth. And listen, all of us are sitting here with voices that are still able of giving God praise. And we're waiting for the right minute to do it. The right minute to do it was when you realized you still could give him praise out your mouth. I'm just trying to work with y'all. Somebody ought to hear and here should say amen just for the fact, amen, that I can say amen again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the report from the battlefield. Amen. We've already won. Amen. We've already won. I want to just point you to the scripture today. And I'll ask. If you will join with me in the first the book of 1 Corinthians. Now we'll do this. Well, let's do this from Psalm 11, chapter 11, verses 3-5. Would you just stand to your feet, join with me, we'll read there, Psalm 11, verses 3-5, and we'll stand and honor the word of God. And let us read together those three verses. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And we're going to just talk briefly from the sermon subject, Christ, the only foundation. And from time to time, we have a subtext, and we'll work with this, Christ, the solid rock. Amen. You may have your seats. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. Exalt thee, O Lord, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none. There is none. There is none like you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, my brothers and my sisters, the word of the Lord is coming to us from the Old Testament book of Psalms. We're going to work with this from Psalm 11, verses 3 to 5. And this is again what the scripture says: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And also we find this text, and this is was our primary text, and the Lord just brought Psalm 11 to my remembrance again while I was going through my notes, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, this is what the scripture says: according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's look to the Lord. Eternal God, we bless you. We thank you again, God, for this preaching opportunity, God, this chance to repeat, to remember, to recount the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you now, Lord, for this chance to hear your word again, God, for the activity of our limbs, God, for working ears. God, we ask, God, that you would now sound down the anointing that will qualify the preaching. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my every strength, and you are my redeemer. I ask now, as I have before, if you would hide me now behind the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the emblem of suffering and of shame, but I still love that old cross because on it the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Amen. I want to say hello, hello, hello. I want to greet first the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to these fine preachers and ministers of the gospel whom are here with me. To each and every one of your wives and your spouses, I want to greet you with Jesus' joy. And for all of you that are here today, these fine musicians who sang to the glory of God this morning, I always say to Sister Katie, about Sister Katie, that I think that she swallowed an angel. I think she took two this morning to she took two and tried to call us in the morning. Amen. To Zach and to all of you. Jordan is just a wonderful guy. You all should have been out there yesterday. That's how we call it in Philadelphia. Last yesterday, as opposed to next yesterday. Growing up in the hood can be problematic. Last yesterday. but praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you. I just want to say, church, again, it is a distinct pleasure for me to be able to come before you for the sake of the gospel today. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Doubtless, you're here today and you feel the very underpinnings of your world being tested. It's doubtless. Work is not the same. Family is not the same. Even friends are not the same. It's staples in our lives, the jobs that we work. When I was a young man, I'd ask my father, how long have you been working for this company? He'd say, 30 years I've been working for this company. I asked my neighbor how long he'd been married to his wife. He said, we've been married 60 years. I asked my mother how long he'd been living in this house. She'd say, long enough. But the very underpinnings, the things that we take for granted in our society, have been turned upside. Is that okay with y'all? We are in an odd state of flux today. Each and every day, we're in an odd state of flux. We don't know who we should trust. Trust has gone away in this world. Increase of technology has made what we'd say, I'll call you later. When we said I'd call you later, that meant I would call you later. That's what we, because you didn't have a phone in your pocket, that meant that you would make it home and then you would call. But now we say, you say, I'll call you later, and by the time you get into your car, someone would say, you said you would call me later. Things are changing, everybody. We're bombarded with the change in our technologies and the ways that we live. That must have been the identical experience of Chloe's folks as they reach out to the Apostle Paul all of those many years ago. Apparently, there was a great concern on Paul's behalf that led him to grab a pen and paper. This book, 1 Corinthians, is written as a response to these facts, to the facts that things were changing. Paul was concerned that the good foundation that was laid was being built upon shabbily. We all know something about this. I just now found out that in Virginia, y'all have a guy named Harry going around, and he's a homemaker. And Harry is building on his house using whatever he can find. He'll use a shoe to tap the steps together. Harry will glue your engine back in the car, whatever you need to do. Harry homemaker can handle it. Paul must have thought that Harry had something to do with what was going on in the church. Harry homemaker was there. There are many real issues in Corinth that were being revealed. The church that Paul had built was becoming more and more carnal. No intention on my behalf to reference our current church, you guys, and draw your own conclusions. When we last were here, last time I took a look at this book, I was struck and saying it was just plain odd to find that people that were supposed to be spiritual were so carnal. Is that the people that were supposed to be godly were worldly? It's kind of like seeing a grown person still acting like a child. Have you ever seen that before? Paul's own testimony later in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, says this: when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Church, I'm just trying to talk to you really briefly about Christ. The foundation and the beginning of it would be that we have to start acting like grown-ups. Paul had apparently hoped that it was safe for him to get back to the church to speak to them about spiritual things, but they just weren't ready. They were spiritual, born again, saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, but spiritual, but acting fleshly, carnal. To prove it, Paul referred to envying, strife, and divisions in verse 3 of this chapter. Because, verse 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Paul was looking at symptoms of carnality. So he looked at how one person would say that they were of Paul and another person would say that they were of Apollos. It would be similar to someone coming to our church and saying that I am of Don, and another person saying that I am of Michael, and another saying that I am of someone else. I can imagine that I would cringe if somebody would come here and point to me in that sort of way. As we've said before, there's only one superhero in Christianity, and that's Jesus, and he is good. Paul's just saying, I laid a good foundation. That's all he's saying. There's some shoddy building going on somewhere. I'm not quite sure what your ability to build is, but you know your work. You know the time, you know the labor that you put into things. And when you come back to what you thought you had built and find out that it is somehow less than what you had built, you'd look for who did the extra work. Paul was concerned that somebody was building on what he had built and they were doing a shoddy job of it. Family, you must understand this. Paul is saying that he's a wise builder. To me, that sounds like he has considered what kind of structure is in mind. A wise builder does that. What am I building? Now, if a single-story hut was in the area and there were no tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, or thieves breaking in, if that was the intent, perhaps the master builder would not have to lay a strong foundation. He wouldn't be concerned about it. But the church is God's building. That's what verse 5 of our text says. That means that we will be strong. We will face strong winds, but the church is safe because the foundation is properly selected to sustain the ill winds that the church will face. But is not concerned about it. The church today is not really concerned about the winds that it is facing. We attended the graduation of our grandson last week, and a young man went up fully clad as a young woman and gave the valedictorian speech. We are in flux. We are facing ill winds. Strong winds are blowing, church. But we're not concerned about it. We are merely trying to find a way to remain comfortable among stormy winds. The Bible says this at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 6. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. I'm telling you, church, today we are facing ill winds. And the reason why we are facing these ill winds and suffering for it is that we refuse to grow up. We refuse the very foundation that we were built on. We refuse Jesus Christ. We refuse him in our testimony. Praise the Lord was something that when many of us were cutting our teeth as believers, or something that we normally heard, but we've allowed our mouths to be shut. We won't give the Lord praise, even when he's done something praiseworthy. We won't pray because they told us not to pray in school. We won't pray on the job because they challenged our witness in the HR office. The Bible says this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The Bible also says this at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 27. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I have never known thee. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man, which heareth these sayings, rather, that builds his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Now I want to tend towards letting you know that no, when and how Jesus has been a rock from me. That is to say, I want to give my own testimony of the solid rock in my own life. I live in a regular home, in a regular old town, with regular old people, with regular old frustrations, regular difficulties. I am a man of unremarkable means. I have an average bank balance. Well, below average bank balance. But I have an extraordinary God. I have weakened knees. My eyes don't see the way as well as they used to see. I have some hair that's growing, but it's not growing in all the places that I want it to grow anymore. I am, for all accounts, a regular guy. And the hair that will grow is not even the same color anymore. Yesterday, after all of the work that we had done, I got back to my house, and I tell you, I'm a regular guy. I've done all these things to the glory of God, but I stand in front of my mirror in the middle of the night, and I see a gray hair from behind my ear. And it's the longest hair. I could have wrapped it around my head. I'm only kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, Jesus. I'm a regular guy. I'm a regular guy in a way that why should I be worried about this long gray hair right now after what the Lord has done? But that's because I'm regular. Are y'all okay with this? Y'all okay with this? I have a young son. Who is just brings joy to me. But I treat him like a regular dad does. Clean your room. Pick that up. Go up on the ceiling, please, and get those squirrels off of there. But I love the Lord. Is that all right? But I love the Lord. And I know that he loves me. I have six other children. One of them came out to our event yesterday. Because there was a yesterday 2 weeks ago, too. I mean the last yesterday. My daughter Leah came out to our event after having a very frustrating last few years and my wondering whether or not she would ever come back to Christ. But we asked her to come out and do the national anthem, and she did the national anthem, and then she was over at the stage where we were playing. We played secular music. We actually did it because we are a car club. They're not all pastors. Amen. So we had that over there, and they were playing 60s and 70s music, and Leah reported to me that she wanted to do five other songs, and I said, maybe there's a break. Maybe God is doing something, and she sung some Marvin Gaye, and she did that thing and all that, and then Alejandro couldn't play drums, and Leah had trickled herself down to the prayer tent, and she comes into the prayer tent with her boyfriend, because we haven't argued yet, and she comes in, and I'm waving her on to play drums. Leah sits down on drums, and she starts playing just like she was upstairs. She starts singing just like she was singing upstairs, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for what you had done today." See, when I think about the foundation in Jesus Christ, I think about the fact that we're living among stormy blasts. I think what it must have been for the disciples when they went out onto the Sea of Galilee. Y'all remember that? The disciples go out onto the Sea of Galilee, and while Jesus Christ has gone down into the very belly of the ship to take some rest, somebody comes to Jesus and says to the master, "The tempest is raging." Can I tell y'all right now that in the world that we're living in, the tempest is raging? Can I tell you that when we go to our jobs, and when we're on the way to our jobs, we've seen things on the roads and hearing things on the news, on our radios. Many of us, if we're saved, we can't even listen to the radio anymore. Many of us, if you're saved, you want to take that television set and do what your grandmother told you to do with it a long time ago. Right? Because you're just now realizing it. But it's okay because even though we're facing these stormy blasts in this world today, we have a solid rock. I have to report to you that when things are going difficult in our home, I think about the solid rock. When life doesn't, you see, I went over to, and I did over there at Psalm 11. This is what the scripture says over there. Y'all help me. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And my mind, my mindset is that somebody's a solid foundation has been laid. That rock is Jesus. Amen. But the society that we're living in is taking a hammer at Christ. Are y'all here with me? They're taking a hammer at Christ. They're taking a hammer at his name. They're taking a hammer at deity. They're taking a hammer at his death on the cross of Calvary. They're taking a hammer at his resurrection from the grave. They're taking a hammer at whether or not it was a bodily resurrection or it was a spiritual resurrection. They're taking a hammer at Christ. If the foundation be destroyed, what can we do? But see, Christ is not like any old rock. Oh, Jesus. He's not like some bagged up sand and salt, right? And pebbles that some construction company has decided to mix up, right? And place some rods in, you know, and wait till that dries, right? And pour. That's not Jesus. Help me in here, somebody. He's a solid rock. Amen. He's not like what your house was built on. Can I say that to you? I know y'all wonder, we're in a stormy area. Amen. But Jesus Christ is not like that foundation that was laid for the house that you're laying in, that you're living in, because if things turn out bad today, your house might be blown down the road somewhere. Because of the failure of your foundation. But can I report to you that he's not like the foundation of your home, that Christ is a solid rock. See, there's a difference. And I'm just going to try to give you a metaphor, a simile or something, compare it. We went down to Virginia Beach. Went down to Virginia Beach. The kids were out on the beach, and my daughter Jada, she's the youngest girl. You know, I see her eyes, and my heart goes, "What must I do to be your father?" and they're on the beach and everything, and I'm looking at the waves, and oh my gosh, don't take the kids away and everything like that. And down at the end of the beach at Virginia Beach, there's these rocks. They are huge, right? And if you watch it, you can see the water just kind of, nope, no, I can't do it. I'll try again. I don't know. I better go back. Let's go back further. Smash. And I go, sit up there, Jada. You're on a solid rock. This is what I want to report to the children. This is what I want to report to Alejandro when he's going to Manassas Park Middle School. Alejandro, you're fine. You're on a solid rock. This is what I want to report to my wife when she's working in Manassas Park High School. Michelle, you're fine. Don't worry about it. You're on a solid rock. This is what I want to tell to Leah down there in Silver Springs. Listen, train up a child in the way that he should go so that when he goes older, he will not depart from it. Leah, you're going to be fine. Why? You're built on a solid. I'm about to go home. Where to go? Can I go home, man? 2,000 years ago, the solid rock went to the cross to save you and me. Now you tell me what some Roman soldiers are going to do to a solid rock. Unless the rock decides and I want to let you pound on me. Are y'all okay with this? Now this is interesting, guys. This is interesting because Christ is taking a pounding today. But guess why he's doing it? Because he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering. Long in suffering. Amen. Why is he taking the pounding for you and you and you and for me to get it right with God and do it now? And so Manasseh's New Covenant Bible Fellowship Church of the left-hand side, frustrated with what the Lord is allowing to do out, not outside of this building, but everywhere. Why? Because you're on a solid rock. Doctor's report, ma'am, you're going to have a surgery, and we have to do that right now. That's okay. I'm on a solid rock. Ma'am, the bills are due. And if you don't pay tonight, if you don't pay right now, we're going to turn everything off. Upon this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Devil, do what you got to do. I'm built on a solid rock. What can we say right now? What can we say right now? When we walk out of these doors today, we live in a world that has been Corinthianized. We're in a church today that has been more influenced by the world than the world has been influenced by the church. But we're Christ's church. And what God says in regard to his church, in regard to you, in regard to us, we are this people and the sheep of his pasture. He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And so what I might say is the next time you get into trouble, remember who you are. Remember that you're a child of the King, that you are peculiar people. Now, a little bit of y'all, a little bit more peculiar than the other ones. I don't know why Zach looked away when I said peculiar than the other ones. You know, you try to establish eye contact with people when you say things, and they know. And there's a strange generation. Well, I wonder why the Bible would say anything like that. Because it's quite peculiar for you to smile when you should be crying. Oh, but when you're on a solid rock, it's quite peculiar for you to be singing songs of joy in the midst of sad circumstances. But I'm on a solid rock. The reality is I'm still on the rock. Oh, Jesus. Have you ever... I'm sorry. I probably need to go ahead and sit down. Okay. Because I'm not really that smart. But have you ever tried to take a walk out in the water every once in a while? Have you ever gone out in deep water and realized that as long as I kept my foot on these rocks, I was... Oh, Jesus. As long as I kept my little feet on the rocks, I had something to stand on. And regardless what the waves tried to do, I was still on the rocks. I was still on the rocks. And as long as my foot could, I'm just trying to, can I get this to you guys? Listen, because there will be days in your life when you can barely even touch the rock. Oh, Jesus. Where you can barely even see the rock, but you're still on the rock. There will be days in your life where the trust will almost be gone, but you still actually are on the rock. There'll be days when nobody calls. There'll be no days when nobody texts, when nobody TikToks or Instagrams. There'll be no days when nobody is Facebooking me, but I'm still on the road. Jesus. Have you ever been by yourself all alone? The doctor's report still hasn't come. I don't know if I can go to work. I don't know if I can pay the bill. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. All I do know is Jesus. There's a song when I was younger. The church used to sing songs together. That's the church. The church, we used to sing together, y'all. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Remember the churches? No? Yes. No. The church, we used to sing together. Right? We do? Oh, no. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me give you a report from the Marchbound AME Church on 25th at 25th and Montgomery Avenue. I'm talking to you about everybody. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. When the church says amen. Not a pocket. I'm not talking about, we're not talking about pockets. We're not talking about a few people. We would sing songs like this, and maybe you can join me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then the pastor would say something like this. You may have come to church today. You may have used every ounce of energy that you could make it out to this place today. And you may not even have any hope for the home that you left. But let me tell you about this rock. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and the morning star. He is a rose of Sharon and the great I am. Can I tell you this? If you don't have anything and you have Jesus, you have everything. Tell you about this rock a little bit, guys. Because I learned this, that if Christ be for me, it didn't matter who was against me. It doesn't matter at all. See, Christ is, he's not just some great equalizer. He is God all by himself. And he doesn't need anyone else. He doesn't need an implement. He is perfect in all of his ways. He's inexhaustible in his character. He's magnificent in his mercy. His grace is overflowing, and his truth endureth through all generations. If you haven't accepted this Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross and rose from the grave on the third day, if you haven't confessed your sins and called out to him for the salvation of your soul, let me inform you of this. This Christ, in spite of the winds of our day, is coming back again real soon. He's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And so, if you are not alive in Christ today, won't you accept him as your Savior? You don't need to leave your seat, but let us all just close our eyes. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you pray along with me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't allowed you to be the Lord of my life. But today, I confess my wrong. Today, I turn over my self-righteousness and I yield myself to your righteousness. Lord, come into my heart. Change me for your glory. I owe you all that I am. And today, I turn it over to you. Use me for your glory. Now, if you prayed this prayer with me, the Bible says this, if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Bible says this, if you say that you have no sin, that you are a liar and the truth is not in you. All have sinned, that's what the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each and every one of us has turned and gone his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the Bible says this, as many as received him, gave he the power to be called the sons of God. God bless you today, Manassas Park, New Covenant Fellowship. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, praise him, somebody. Praise him from the rising of the sun. Come on, somebody, praise him until the going down the same. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the grave, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. May heaven smile upon you, and the Lord grant you peace. Have a wonderful day. Amen. Hallelujah.